The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Recently humming the Mission Impossible theme song, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
That's because every time you say 5 seconds from Mark, all I can think of is this tape will self-destruct in five seconds.
I'm waiting for a cell phone to just go up in
Which
flames.
Which is why I always do the Mission Impossible theme.
I think that that's great. It's one of the greatest TV themes of all time. It's possibly number one. I mean, seriously.
And you, Matt and I are watching Ken Burns' American Revolution and absolutely adoring it.
Spectacular.
It's so good.
I've got them all recorded.
12 hours.
I've never even heard of this.
A lengthy sit down.
You will get drawn in. He has a way with the documentary, Ken Burns.
And mind you, the thing that I like about it wasn't just about Washington and Jefferson, all the big players. It's all the little.
It's not the usual voices.
Lots of women's history. Lots of men. You know, we were a melting pot right from the beginning. That wasn't some sort of 20th century
construct.
Professor Dan Maggio is here with us, who will now tell us what his favorite Ken Burns documentary is.
Oh, no.
Is it hard?
There's multiple.
Boy,
there's tons.
The jazz one was great.
The one that
baseball.
It might be the baseball.
The Civil War was great. Vietnam War was great.
I would say the Vietnam War one was excellent. But I'd say the baseball.
Yeah, baseball was really
Even though I don't really like baseball.
Sure.
I just enjoy his storytelling.
Leslie tells me the other day, because we started watching American Revolution, he's like, I don't kind of like the baseball one.
What?
And I just hesitated for a moment. I go, what you don't like is rewatching it on MLB Network when it gets interrupted every minute and a half with commercials. She goes, you're right. You want to go back and watch it on PBS because you can watch two straight hours
without it straight through.
Single interruption.
I haven't watched that one. I'm not a huge baseball fan.
It's
but
spectacular.
I agree that, you know, one of Burns' gifts is that he tells iconic stories. He tells stories about things that are iconically American, like jazz. Didn't he do one on Prohibition?
It could have been a short one.
Yes, he did.
He did one on the Dust Bowl, too.
And he did one on the Holocaust recently. It was very short, but it was
very good.
Spectacular.
Literally never heard of this man until 5 minutes ago.
I mean, we got to go back to the Civil War. We're going to start there.
He looks like Paul McCartney, actually.
Yeah.
He does. And he talks with a very soft voice, too.
Yeah.
I have the U.S. and the Holocaust on Blu-ray, actually.
So good point, Dan. But I think that it's very special to be able to watch it all the way through. When I have a historian wife and she's like, this is coming out, I'm like, you already know that I'm signing up for it. Like, she's like, oh, I get to do things sometimes, you know. So.
Well, I know she really loved the Roosevelt one because she has family relations that fought with
Actually, she nearly plotzed last night because she is obsessed with listening to the voices because they're all celebrities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you never see their face, right? So, Tom Hanks is playing this person and da-da-da-da-da. My wife is actually descendant from Dr. Benjamin Rush, and he was mentioned in it last night, and she's like,
I think Edward Norton is doing it.
I think it's
voice.
Edward Norton, that's right. So
I was hoping she was related to Tom Hanks.
Well, you know, not everybody
can
be. Professor Jim Tubbs is here with us today.
Yep. I think my favorite I think my favorite is still the Civil War.
The Civil War.
I like the way he humanized everybody's perspectives in
that's
that.
Right.
Because you don't usually see that in documentaries. You don't see that much attention paid to it.
Right, right.
And being the descendant of people who fought on both sides, descendant of persons who fought on both sides of the Civil War, well, and having been raised in the South, but from an early age, I didn't really think it would have been a good idea had the South won.
Although they did have the better military minds.
They did
question.
Have some good military minds, sure.
Wasn't enough, though. Wasn't enough.
Well, no. I mean,
the resources
the
they had were
fight,
not enough.
Yeah, I mean, when the North can fight a war of attrition, then...
Exactly.
Had they had the hardware and the economic wherewithal that the North had, I think it would have been a different...
And just the troops, I mean...
See? What an academic pursuit here. Professor Aaron Bell is here with us today, and we're very happy for that.
I'm not watching anything academic right now.
But you do watch Birds.
I do. I watch a lot of Birds. I just returned from Puerto Rico, and I saw some really awesome birds there.
How was the conference?
Oh, yeah, the conference. It was actually really excellent. So it was the National Women's and Gender Studies Conference, mm-hmm. and I went with Dean Jacqueline and Professor Heather Hill and our friend Professor Stephen Manning as yes. well. It was great. The conference was really excellent. I will say it's hard to sort of focus in on conferencing when it's 86 degrees
yeah.
yes. and sunny and there's birds and a national rainforest park. But we caught up with a group of feminist Jesuit scholars from sort of the oh. universities all around the country. And that was really super special. But 10 out of 10, recommend El Yunque National Park. It was
nice.
Really beautiful.
Yes.
Nice. My husband had a great time in Puerto Rico. He said San Juan is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. It's,
yes.
It is.
Great.
It's my first time. It was really splendid. Yes.
Cool. I like the Rome. Oh, sorry.
Professor Dave Chow is also here with us.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Was the last national forest you visited in Garden City?
No.
Oh, okay.
Was Redwoods in California,
yeah.
wasn't
oh,
it?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Muir Woods.
Avenue of Giants, Muir Woods, all that.
Okay, very nice. Very, very
did okay.
nice. I'm just trying to do my Clausen joke with a little different flavor.
Well, I was
going
to say, we could go to the dog park in Berkeley. So just not the same.
Just not the same. No. Not many birds there no. either, no, to be honest. Last but certainly not least, Professor Daniel Maxwell is here. I will not ask you what your favorite Ken Burns documentary is, but I hope you have an answer to that question after you... Let's see, you'd probably literally have to watch like 1,000 hours. Of
well, you know, I have a very long flight coming up.
You do?
So
oh, my. That's perfect.
Yes, so I can download that and watch my very long flights.
There you go. That's a great yep. idea.
Yes.
The American Revolution one is 12 hours. I'm sure the Civil War was 12 hours.
It's about
or
12.
More.
Yeah.
I think I'll be in the
yeah.
air for about 22 hours, including stops as well. I mean, there are layovers.
Are you
but
going to China
hours.
Or Australia or
Hawaii for a conference?
Hawaii.
For work. I'm going to Hawaii for work. But
how is that 22
there's
hours?
There's like a 6-hour layover in Seattle.
Oh. Who's having their conferences in Hawaii? And tell me more.
Yeah, chemistry conferences happen in Hawaii. And I tried to get Matt to go, but he cannot go. But he's an author on the thing that we're going to be presenting. And by we, I mean me. I'm presenting it.
Which island?
Oahu.
Oahu.
It's mm-hmm. right on Waikiki Beach. And oh. I give my presentation in the first session on the first day. And so does my husband.
So you're footloose and fancy free after that.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you my shopping list.
There you go.
I have, yes,
yeah,
I have,
he needs some tiki coffee. Equipment.
Yes.
Oh, and tiki.
I have free baggage, so I can definitely bring things back.
Wow. Oh, not the size I'm thinking of.
he sent me a particular bar in yeah. Honolulu that was closed
at the
for
time.
Remodeling
yeah.
when
oh,
I got there.
Please send me ideas. Yes. Duke's. I've been to Duke's.
I can do that too. I'll send you plenty.
Thank you. Thank you.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had some tiki questions. If you stump the panel, you'll receive a brand new edition of the Ask the Professor coffee mug and the autographed photograph of the professors. If you don't stump the panel, we'll send you the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Dear professors, I heard there was a call for holiday questions, so we've included a dozen for you to use. I can't take all the credit for these, as the family gets in on the contributions to your show. We hope they prove challenging, thought-provoking, and fun. Please enjoy. Our good friend, warmest greetings as always from Valencia, California,
Frank
and the family
Burroughs. Isn't it wonderful to think that a whole family listens to us?
Sitting around by the fire listening to us.
Absolutely.
It's not the Mansons. Absolutely.
Might make us wonder about their mental health, but.
Who wrote the music for Home Alone?
Oh, my.
John Williams.
John Williams.
John Williams, yeah.
Oh, he did.
The greatest of all time. Absolutely.
You know, he said when I just saw this YouTube thing about 12 facts you didn't know about Schindler's List. And apparently, when Spielberg went to Williams to score it, he said, "You need a better musician for this. I am not up to
wow.
this film." And Spielberg's like, "Yeah, but they're all dead, John, so come on." You know, you gotta.
And he did a great job of
yes.
capturing
it's
Eastern
fabulous.
European
yeah.
right.
you know, music,
the flourishes and all
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
In the Christmas Story movie,
yeah.
Ralphie's secret decoder ring solved a message. What did it promote?
Drink
Ovaltine.
Your Ovaltine.
Don't forget to drink your Ovaltine.
Oh, I saw that at the theater, at the main
oh.
theater.
Oh, the main.
Yeah,
oh,
I know. RIP main theater.
RIP.
You could go see it at the Redford.
You could see it at the
not
old
true,
Redford.
True.
That's right. That's absolutely
you gotta
right.
You got to wear your... pink onesie, though.
A bunny onesie?
I do.
It looks like a demented Easter bunny.
I got a onesie once for a White Elephant gift.
Nice.
What were the four Academy Award nominations that the Bruce Willis movie Die Hard earned? Mm. Everybody knows it's a Christmas movie. I will actually say if you can get even one of them, that's good.
That's what, cinematography?
No cinematography.
Sound editing.
I got sound editing.
Yes. Okay,
production design.
Special costumes.
So I got sound editing, and I haven't heard any other one that was there.
Best
they got
special effects?
Yeah.
Film editing.
Huh. Okay.
Visual effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sound mixing separate.
Well, Nakatomi Towers does not come down easy, so. No. I mean,
it's hard to imagine all these things as being that separate.
Right.
You know, all these different
editing,
award categories.
Sound mixing. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like exactly.
Go together.
So you never, ever want to go into
I know there's a difference between, like, the best theme song and the best overall score.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's a clear difference.
Yep.
Danielle, have you seen that movie yet?
Die Hard?
Yes.
I have, but I have not seen Schindler's List, so I added that to my mental list.
That's okay.
I only watched it for the first time last year.
Mm. Same. Yes.
Well.
Die Hard, not Schindler's
List. Come out to the coast. We'll have a few laughs.
I know people who claim that that's their favorite Christmas movie.
Absolutely.
Say, huh?
Drew and I can't watch it on Christmas Eve anymore because it's actually a pretty long movie. Yes. Yeah. We find ourselves getting tired, so we have to do it like earlier in the day.
Oh my gosh.
Do Peanuts and Grinch.
Who voiced the character of Jack Skellington in The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Johnny Depp?
Yeah. No, Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman was his singing voice.
Oh.
Okay.
But his speaking voice was different. It is a trick.
Tim Burton? Did he do it himself?
No. Nope.
Is it someone spooky?
It was somebody's son. I'm trying to remember.
Somebody's son.
I would say
most people are.
Except for the women.
Usually someone's daughter or son. This is how it works.
It was a relatively famous 1993, right? Fall of 93. A relatively famous, you know, journeyman actor, young actor of that time. Initial like CS.
Chris.
That's correct.
Oh, crud.
Chris O'Crud. My favorite actor.
Yes. Nominated many times.
It was Chris Sarandon was his name.
Oh, Susan.
Okay. Someone's son. Mm-hmm.
He's Count Rugen in Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he play Count? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, what Christmas movie did they recognize as the quote first all-digital capture film, unquote.
Oh,
what does that even mean?
Polar Express.
It was. Ooh. Nightmare Fuel, The Polar Express. That movie is creepy as heck.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Absolutely cringe.
What Christmas movie was Vincent Price's... This is stretching in a lot of different ways. What Christmas movie was Vincent Price's final feature film role?
Oh, Edward Scissorhands?
Edward Scissorhands.
Do you like that?
Not because I don't think it's a Christmas movie, but people do the diehard thing. If it's happening at Christmas,
a
la Gremlins.
Right.
Is Gremlins a Christmas movie? It kind of is. You know,
like Batman.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
Filmed in Astoria.
Yeah. Who played Papa Elf in the Will Ferrell movie Elf?
Bob Newhart.
Your guy.
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart.
Yeah, I'm like John Stewart. I have brain fog.
Bob
That's why I'm
the funniest Papa people Elf. Who ever lived.
Really, really funny.
Sorry. That's who I meant, I swear.
The Charlie Brown Christmas special had a corporate sponsor that used to be part, actually, of the animation. It was cut out since it's been traded amongst the different TV stations. What was it?
Was it like Dolly Madison?
No, but Peanuts was used to sell Dolly Madison.
Yeah.
Yep, but it wasn't. So there was a scene, kind of gives it away, where the boys were walking alongside of a wall that had cans on it, and kids were throwing snowballs
Coca-Cola?
To knock the cans. It was Coke.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We kind of knew it wasn't Budweiser, so I mean.
I was going to joke and say, was it Abso Pure? Sponsored Detroit Mercy? Sponsors.
Abso Pure.
No, but Coke had those famous ads, right?
Yes.
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This movie, set around a Christmas dance, featured the actors Steve Guttenberg, Daniel Stern, Mickey Rourke, Kevin Bacon, Timothy Daly, and Ellen Barkin.
What is the movie?
That's a good guess, but that wasn't centered around a Christmas
dance.
Steve
Guttenberg was the...
Who keeps Steve Guttenberg a star?
Three Men and a Baby, didn't
around it? A Christmas dance?
Said this movie, which is set around a Christmas dance, featured Steve Guttenberg, Daniel Stern, Mickey Rourke, Kevin Bacon, Timothy Daly, and Ellen Barkin. It's a single word. I know. Starts with the letter D, and it was a pretty popular movie of the time.
D.
I want to say the 80s. Well, it's got Kevin Bacon in it.
Yeah, so it's got to be it.
The movie's Diner is what it is.
Oh, Diner, mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't remember a Christmas dance
Yeah, I don't associate that with Christmas.
It's just interesting, you know. What is the highest grossing Christmas film of all time?
Grinch.
Miracle on 34th Street.
I mean, Dave hit the nail on the head. It's The Grinch.
The Grinch.
From 2018. Ooh, the Grinch. Benedict Cumberbatch and Rashida Jones. That was $540 million for the animated Grinch. Yes.
Wow.
And that, for the record, was fine, but there was nothing special about it. As you can hear from the truck backing up in the parking lot.
Oh, they parked right behind us. Fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah, why not just watch the original cartoon?
Seriously.
Barless Karloff.
Barless Karloff.
Yeah, I like the cartoon.
Yeah.
Plus you get Max.
With the ominous sounding Max. Poetry in
and
the background.
Cindy Lou Who.
I can do my hair to look like Cindy Lou Who. I actually do not
can
do
you?
That.
Why?
I can.
Who was no more than two.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In what Christmas movie did the classic song Irving Berlin's White Christmas make its debut?
Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn is the correct answer.
Then again in White Christmas.
Exactly.
Later.
In what Christmas movies would you find the Sticky Bandits? And who
Home
were
Alone.
The, in the actors that played them? Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Joe Pesci is one of them, right? Daniel's I've never
Stern.
Seen Home Alone. Yeah. But
it is so good.
We went through this before. I can't believe you've never seen Home Alone.
Oh, really?
You
love it.
It is one of my top three movies of all time.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Fantastic.
Well, you and Drew got a movie now.
Yes.
Well.
It's odd, though. I'm not sure. Sticky Bandits, they were the wet bandits.
Yeah, they were the wet bandits. Yeah.
They turned the water on, and they would leave the houses after they would take all the stuff. So, I mean,
they did get covered in feathers and tar at one point, which made them the sticky bandits.
They were sticky.
They
were sticky
that.
At some point. Yeah.
In Home Alone 2, did they, have a new...
A new moniker?
Yeah.
Oh,
they might have. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We know one others. Thing that happened in Home Alone 2. The president appeared in it. And that was weird.
So bad.
That's right.
Yes, you are.
It's and that I'm way, sure. kid.
Yikes. Professors, attached, please find my annual set of Christmas questions. Oh. I've tried to include a variety of questions that would appeal to everyone on the panel. Ooh, 18 out of 25 is passing.
Ooh, that's
Merry
so
Christmas
generous.
And Happy New Year to you all. This is, of course, our good friend Holly Berry of Detroit, Michigan.
Thank you.
What does the X in Xmas stand for?
It's the Christus. It's the
cross,
Greek
the
for CH.
It's the Greek letter chi or ki, which means thank Christ.
You. Kai. It's
Kai. Yeah. You know, Tai Chi.
Ki Kai. Chi. Tai Chi.
Chai latte.
Where is the world famous Christmas tree placed in New York City?
Rockefeller Center.
Rockefeller Center. Yeah.
At the Rock.
30 Rock.
That's right.
I guess not Times Square.
What plant's berries are often white and traditionally hung over doorways?
Mistletoe.
They're also extremely poisonous.
Yep.
Yep. Which two of Santa's reindeer names come from weather phenomenon?
Blitzen.
Blitzen, yeah.
Blitzen means lightning.
Foggy.
Is Comet one?
Nope.
No, not weather?
I wouldn't say it's weather. But there is a comet coming to our solar system right now.
Oh, comets can fall from the sky. And
Dasher, now Dancer, now
Prancer,
now
Vixen,
now
Comet, Blitzen. Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen.
So Donner is a Americanization of the original translation, which was Dunder, which is thunder.
Thunder.
Oh, like
so.
A dunder head.
Dunder and Blitzen means thunder and lightning, which
learned
makes sense.
New,
you know.
Not a reference to the Donner Party, then.
Party
not
of
very Christmassy, yeah.
That's right.
That's not a good Christmas image.
Rudolph, too, but...
Showers the reindeer doesn't work, you know, so...
What holiday drink is sometimes called milk punch?
Eggnog?
Eggnog.
Let us never bring that up ever again. my sister is obsessed with eggnog, and her name is Megan, so we call her Megnog for pretty much the entire season.
Oh, I've got a great eggnog recipe.
And she can just drink it all because no one else in the family wants to even look
so
at
gross.
It.
So gross.
Does she mind being called Megnog?
She doesn't. We have lots of nicknames for her.
Oh, okay.
Mostly diminutive.
I had lots of those, too.
Yep.
And it cooks the egg.
To what city was Kevin McAllister's family traveling in the original Home Alone?
Paris.
Paris.
I just watched it, I think. I was watching that John Candy documentary.
Planes, Trains. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I mentioned it.
We get this every once in a while. It's still pretty interesting. Think Ken Burns. Which U.S. president made Christmas a federal holiday? Because, of course, it moves in the calendar.
FDR.
Roosevelt? FDR, yeah, one of the Roosevelts.
It was way Lincoln? Before.
Abe Lincoln?
It was after Lincoln, but
Grant?
Before Roosevelt.
Grant.
It was U.S. Grant. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. What is the name of a famous Christmas-themed ballet?
The Nutcracker.
Yeah, where's Mara when you need her?
I was a mouse in the Nutcracker at one point in my life. One of the evil mice.
Wait, aren't they rats? I thought they were rats.
Oh, well, there's the rat, but then the rat has mouse little like minions. Okay. Yes. Minions. I was like 12, so I had to be a mouse minion. I couldn't be a tall rat.
You could have.
He's not tall enough.
Oh, please.
No, don't get me started.
In How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what was the Grinch's dog's name?
Max!
Yep. And he got some thread, and he hung it off of Max's head. What song includes Don We Now Our Gay Apparel?
Jim?
Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Fa-la-la-la-la.
Fa-ra-ra-ra-ra.
Hey, that's my line.
Oh, my gosh. According to the Bible, what did three gifts wise men gave baby
Jesus? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yes.
What is myrrh?
That's when you don't know an answer.
It's a spice that's kind of gummy.
A few of my students are writing about frankincense and myrrh right now in the Catholic Church and their connection to it. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a perfume, really.
Yes.
Before turkey became common, I'm guessing because we're talking about Britain and there were no turkeys, what meat was often served for
goose.
Christmas in England? It says goose, sometimes boar.
Boar. Yes.
Seems a little bit of a bore.
My dissertation advisor and her husband always cooked a goose for Christmas.
Was she British?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's very unctuous.
Just a foodie.
And of course, in A Christmas Carol, the story,
that's right.
It's a goose that
right.
they...
That's right.
The one bigger than the little boy who...
You mean the one as big as me. In Mariah Carey's classic, that's debatable.
Classic?
All I Want for Christmas song, what does she say she will not wish for? Oh. I won't even wish for...
A second career?
Yike! This is the stumper.
Oh, this is a good one.
I have to sing this whole song in my head.
You know, because all she wants for Christmas is you. So she won't even wish for...
Anyone else?
No, any it's very presents? Classically Christmas. I won't ask
like a
for...
Charcoal?
A present under the tree, a ring under the tree.
A stocking?
I'm not going to repeat it because that's
real
not helping.
Tens and twenties.
Yeah, no, money.
No, she doesn't want snow. She doesn't want snow for Christmas.
What a cringe.
We don't want snow either.
Until Christmas, and then you can keep it after that.
All I want is my fair share.
All I want is what's
coming to me.
Who sang Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree in 1958?
Oh, Burl Ives, wasn't it?
No. Brenda Lee.
She's real short.
Brenda Lee?
Brenda Lee.
Yeah.
How old was Brenda Lee when that single was recorded?
16.
She was 13 years old.
Oh, not legal.
13.
She was?
As old as Emmett Mayo.
Wow.
That's
could you imagine
disturbing.
Emmett releasing a song?
I could actually, sort of.
Hey, he had the sing-song thing when he did Trick or Treat in My House, so it was good.
Impressive. It's easy to remember, but hard to calculate. In total, how many gifts are given in the 12 days
Dan?
Of Christmas if you add them all up?
Is it 364.
364 is exactly
is it
correct.
12 exclamation point, right? 12 factorial? Is that what
you mean? No, that would be massively huge.
I don't know.
No, it's 12 times 13 divided by 2. Wait a minute.
Oh.
No. Let me think about that. I'll get back to you.
It's not multiplied. It's added.
Yep.
Yeah, I was multiplying.
It's 12 times 1 plus 11 times 2 plus 10 times 3.
Right.
So that's not a factorial.
No, it's not.
12 factorial is over like...
over my head. Way over my head.
It sounds like something you need trigonometry for. Not trigonometry, calculus for.
I took calculus. That's the sad part.
And I don't...
Oh, left footprint
but
to my forehead.
But you didn't take it from Dan like Matt did.
No.
I don't know if there's a quick formula for that.
Okay.
I will look it up.
Did you take Calc 3 from Dan?
Calc 3 from Dan, yep.
I did not know that.
Beyond me.
Part of the lore?
Did you get an A?
Part of the Lord.
You taught Calc 3?
Oh, he was very good. And I remember Dan going to the board, and as I've said many times on the show, he drew like a perfect circle. He did the thing with his arm, and then we were doing polar coordinates. I'm like, oh, wow.
I just saw, you know, when you're on YouTube, they always put the list on the side of random things that they think you might like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there was one video of people doing perfect circles, not at the elbow, not
at the shoulder, but
shoulder,
the elbow?
But at the wrist.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's this one guy...
Oh, yeah, no.
It does a perfect circle.
Wow.
What?
They taught us how to do it from the hand, from the fingers.
That's fantastic. Oh, you would probably...
Yeah, I could do it.
Yeah. We
actually had to do ellipses. Like 10 degree, 20, 30, 40.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Don't even get me going.
What year, professors, were the first string lights for Christmas, you can call them Christmas lights, invented?
1923.
It was way before that.
Really?
1894.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give it to you. It's the 1880s because they were Edison lights. We even call them Edison lights to this day when you see the special.
And they tended to burn up the tree.
Exactly. Exactly. How many towns in the United States of America are named Christmas? I'll even give you the biggest hint of all time. I-75 from beginning to end.
9.
12.
13.
2.
Just 2.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
From the beginning in Michigan?
I think I was in a city called Christmas. Is there one in Florida?
And in one in Florida. Florida and Michigan. There you go. That's
it. Where's Christmas, Michigan?
Christmas is in the Upper Peninsula.
I was there, too. Mm-hmm. I was just there.
In Munising. Yep. Close to Munising. Yep.
I was out there.
Have you been to hell, too?
Well, let me tell you about this semester.
Well, you forget where she works. So.
According to the cartoon, what does Frosty the Snowman say when his hat is put on?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Merry Christmas.
Careful.
Happy careful. Birthday.
Oh, my gosh. That's
awesome.
I don't know.
What
artist wrote and performed the hit song Run, Run, Rudolph?
The Jackson 5.
The Beach Boys.
Mm.
No. Oh, that's awesome.
His classic early rock guitarist. That was actually Chuck Berry.
Oh Chuck Berry.
Run, Run, Rudolph. Mm-hmm. How many French hens are there in 12 days of Christmas?
Three French hens.
Three French hens.
Two turtle doves, a partridge, and a pear tree.
According to tradition, how did Mary get transported to Jesus' birthplace for the census on Christmas?
Uber. On a donkey.
For the census?
Uber.
There was a census?
For a census?
It was a census, yes.
I didn't know there was a census.
That's why they had to return to their family city.
Yep.
To be registered.
Yeah.
It wasn't, for the record, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. It wasn't a donkey census. It was a human census.
Yes.
But I didn't know that.
Just making sure. Yeah, you didn't know that.
Did not know that part.
Yeah, that's my awesome. Familiarity with the Bible is pretty, minimal.
It's okay.
We all have weaknesses.
How about,
burns in your hands. That's all bad.
Where was that donkey, the aforementioned donkey, headed? Can you answer that one?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
Yes, I can do that.
FYI, not Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But
who knows where the donkey wanted to go?
Who knows?
Not there, probably.
There is some, I'm all for being spiritual, but there's some wackadoodle tradition about the fact that there's a special kind of Middle Eastern donkey that the hair pattern on its back actually makes a cross.
What?
And so, even before Jesus was born, his mother was bearing the symbol of, blah, blah, blah. And
I prefer Father Guido Sarducci and find the face of the Pope in the pizza.
Professors, I'm so sorry, and I'm glad you're having holiday fun. No, you're not. But the time has come to say goodbye, Danielle.
Adios.
Dave.
See ya.
Aaron.
Happy holidays.
Jim.
Bye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
And Beth.
Bye.
Now, these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.